So this is obviously very helpful to the spiritual life. If you're moving with those who have the same goal, the same means of getting there, or practicing also just as you are, by being with them, all that side of your nature which you want to develop, which you want to cultivate, is activated more and more and more. And that's why we have refuge in the Sangha, or refuge in the spiritual community. That's really why we even come to a place like this, to a vihara. It's not just to listen to a lecture, but it's also to listen together with those who are not only also listening, but also trying, or who will try, to practice what is being said, what is being taught. And the fact that we're all here together, all acting one upon another, all stimulating one another, all activating one another, can be very, very helpful. If you have to struggle on the alone, if you live way in the backwoods, as it were, down in Cornwall somewhere, up in the north of Scotland, or in the Scilly Isles, well, there's not much contact with Buddhism there, if any. But if one can be in a place, even like London, where we just have a few score Buddhists, a couple of hundred at most, who are comparatively active and visible, even association with them can be very, very good and very, very helpful. This puts me in mind of a little story, something which happened only yesterday. As you all know, I spend a lot of time popping backwards and forwards, visiting various Buddhist groups, and yesterday I happened to go to Hastings. And I go to Hastings every month, and yesterday happened to be the day of my regular monthly visit. But as it was so near Vaishakha, the Hastings group decided, though they're a really small group, that they'd have their Vaishakha celebration. There are only 8 or 9 of them, but they really celebrated Vaishakha. And I noticed that there was a little woman present, who's always present. Once again, I'm not going to mention any names. She's always there. Attends every meeting, every meditation class. But I'd noticed she never looked very happy. One notices this as one looks around sometimes at meetings. People don't look really happy. They ought to be listening to the Buddha's teaching, but many of them are not. And she certainly wasn't. She usually sits there with a rather grim, discontented expression, or sort of hunched up on the chair. But I noticed that yesterday she was remarkably cheerful, buzzing backwards and forwards and so on and so forth. So I was asking myself, well, what is the reason? Why is she so cheerful today? Quite chirpy, in fact. So then I realized what it was. That yesterday, because it was Vaishakha, she had something to do. She wasn't just listening, she wasn't just sitting back and hearing someone talking about Buddhism, she was participating in something. She had taken it upon herself to provide cakes and sandwiches and whatnot in honor of the Vaishakha day. So she was quite evidently happy and cheerful because she had the opportunity of doing that for other people, and thereby, through that, felt that she was a member of a group, of a community, and not just someone coming along to a meeting and sitting there and taking it all in, we hope, and then going away afterwards, and that's that. So she felt on that occasion, it was quite clear, that she was a member of a spiritual community. She got something out of it, and something was activated in her, a certain natural goodness, a desire to give, a generosity, a helpfulness, serviceableness, which usually didn't get any chance to express themselves. It was almost as though the poor woman was starved, you see, just coming to a meeting and listening and meditating, good things in themselves, but she wanted to do something. She wanted to have a certain side of herself activated, so that was activated, apparently, yesterday, and she was much better for it. So she came and had a little talk with me afterwards. This is again incidental, but it's quite interesting because it's human. She came to me afterwards, she had a little talk, and I said to her, I've never seen you looking so happy. I said, usually when I come here you sit there looking quite sad, but today you're cheerful. And I was asking myself why. So she was a little taken aback by this frank speech. So I said, today you're happy because you're doing something. And at once her face lit up and she said, yes, I'm happy because I'm doing something for everybody. Then she confided, she said, you know, my friend Mrs. So-and-so with whom I come, she's very intellectual. She's read lots and lots of books about Buddhism. And she said, I'm afraid my brain isn't particularly good. She said, I've often wondered, and now there's an opportunity to take this up with you. Do you think, because my brain isn't all that good and I don't remember things, shouldn't I give up Buddhism? So I said, your brain can't be as bad as all that. Tell me, do you know the Four Noble Truths? She said, yes. Do you know the Three Refuges? Yes. Do you know the Eightfold Path? Oh, yes. So that's quite enough. But you know that. You need not bother about anything else. Don't bother about reading books and being brainy and understanding Buddhist philosophy. That's quite enough. Three refuges, Four Noble Truths, Noble Eightfold Path. That's enough for the rest of your life. So she was very happy. But the point I want to emphasize is that just on account of that little celebration, that woman came into a more human contact with other people. She was able just to do something on the ordinary level of serviceableness, make some sandwiches and bring some cakes and offer them to everybody. And she's obviously a much better person, a much happier person for being able to do that. Not as I was told by the president of the group that that good lady had been wanting to do something like that for months, but she hadn't had the opportunity. So this is what it means, one can say, in a very simple way, a very simple example, to belong to a spiritual community as distinct from attending the meetings of an organization. Now, as I've said, this was all rather in passing, but we've come more or less to the end of our talk, so no harm done.